Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our strength, even in our weakness, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We read verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul is writing here and he says, "Therefore, to keep me from being arrogant due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not become arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that He would take it away from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What do you delight in? What comes to mind when I ask you, what do you delight in? Is it your children? Maybe your grandchildren? Your family? Being out in the beauty of nature? Maybe we think about this past weekend, the fantastic 4th of July fireworks celebration after we gorged ourselves on some delicious grilled food. Maybe spending time doing your favorite hobby, maybe that delights you. Watching your favorite sports team win the championship, or maybe just air conditioning delights you this weekend. These are all things that we'd probably say we delight in, at least to some degree or another. When I ask you that question, did any of you think of things like difficulties, physical ailments and diseases, weaknesses, hardships, persecutions? Has any one of you ever prayed these words, "Thank you, Lord, for the difficulties in my life. I delight in them and would really like you to send more of them my way. Amen." I'm guessing probably not. And yet, how did the Apostle Paul end our text for today? What's the word he uses? He says, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." No, that can't be right. Did Paul really mean delight? I did notice that one particular translation, a very good translation of the Bible, actually translated that verse this way. It said, "I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." So I double-checked the word in Greek to see if maybe that's a good translation for it, and it's really not. The word doesn't mean to be content with. It actually means to be well-pleased with, to take pleasure or delight in, to be glad in. Well, how in the world could the Apostle Paul actually say this? Is he actually being serious here? Oh, yes, he is being serious. And Paul could say these things and even delight in his difficulties because he trusted in Jesus and in Jesus' words. He endured these things for the sake of Christ, as he says in our text. And so we have in this text words from Paul that are a good example for us to follow and help us not just to endure or to be content with the difficulties, the hardships, and the trials that we encounter in this life, but also to be thankful for them. And in the end, actually be delighted that God has allowed us to go through them. In our text, Paul points to a rather particular difficulty that he had. It's a very famous section of Scripture where he talks about this thorn in his flesh. He says he has a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. That does not sound pleasant, does it? A thorn in your flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment you. Not something that we would delight in. But Paul could be thankful for this thorn in his flesh because he understood why God had allowed it. He trusted that God was going to use this difficulty for his ultimate and highest good. So why did God allow this thorn in Paul's flesh to be there? Well, you see, the Apostle Paul was a man who was very blessed by God, blessed with many spiritual gifts and talents. He was given the ability to speak in tongues and apparently did it more than any of the other people in that Corinthian congregation to whom he was writing. Paul has the distinction of being probably the most successful Christian missionary in history. And he was inspired by God to write more books of the Bible than anyone else. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's almost half of the books in the New Testament. In the first verses of this chapter, and Paul actually references those verses, the first verses of this chapter, Paul recounts how he was given many visions and revelations from God. And one of them appears to even be a vision of heaven. So yeah, we could say Paul was a very blessed man by God, given many spiritual gifts. And because of this, he may have been tempted to have been a bit arrogant, to be conceited. God wanted to prevent this from happening, so he allowed Paul to suffer from this thorn in his flesh. And we don't know exactly what that affliction was. There's a lot of speculation over what it was. It seems to be a physical ailment of some kind. People have speculated maybe it was blindness or a lack of sight. Remember, he was blinded when Jesus came to him and converted him on the way to Damascus. Others feel it may have been some sort of chronic illness, maybe a physical disability, or maybe even a speech impediment. Regardless of what that thorn in his flesh was, this difficulty, this disability, kept him humble. It helped him to realize and recognize his limitations as a man. And more importantly, this affliction was a constant reminder that he was a weak human being, that he was completely dependent on the grace of God. Ever been there before? Ever had to deal with a thorn in your flesh? Have you ever faced difficulties in your life? Have you ever felt weak? Well, of course you have. Of course we all have. We are all human beings, just like the Apostle Paul was. Just because he was an apostle of God didn't make him any less human than you and me. We have frailties. We have a fallen, sinful nature, just like Paul did. Whenever we are weak, to use Paul's words, what do we do? Well, Paul shows us in our text the first step we should take when we encounter difficulties or weaknesses or thorns in our lives, whatever they are. And that first step that Paul shows us to take is prayer. We take it to the Lord in prayer. And Paul didn't just pray once. He didn't just say, Lord, please help me with this, and then went on with his life. Listen how he speaks of his prayer to God. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this thorn in his flesh, that he would take it away from me. This is obviously a very troubling ailment to Paul, not something he took lightly, not something that was easy to go through or endure. He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment me. It's pretty serious. No doubt Satan's aim with this thorn in his flesh was to try and tempt Paul to despair, to try to turn him away from trusting God and maybe turn him to be angry with God or question God. Why are you allowing this physical affliction to be on me? I'm your missionary. Wouldn't I be a better missionary for you, Lord, if I didn't have this thorn in my flesh, this physical problem? But God had another purpose for this thorn in Paul's flesh. And as always, God was turning evil, Satan's messenger, into Paul's good. When Paul heard God's answer to his prayer in verse 9, he realized that even though this wasn't the answer Paul had been asking for or hoping for, he was content with it because he realized it was for his own spiritual and eternal good. So what was God's answer to Paul's prayer? We know he did not heal Paul from that physical ailment, whatever it was. Instead, God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." God's grace in Christ, His undeserved love, and the salvation He won for Paul by Jesus' death on the cross was more than sufficient to give Paul what he needed in even the hardest of times. But in His infinite love, God also indicated to Paul by these words that His gifts of grace, above and beyond the forgiveness and life and salvation that He gave to Paul, would in fact preserve him, help him persevere and bear up during whatever trials and difficulties might come his way. And it was this grace, not Paul's own power, that he needed to rely on. In the same way, whenever we are weak, remember, God's grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for you and me. In His grace, in His undeserved, unearned, unconditional love, He sent Jesus to take away the biggest thorn in our flesh, that is, our sins. Those sins, those thorns were impossible for us to bear, and they guaranteed us our condemnation. But Jesus bore our thorns for us. In fact, He bore a crown of thorns for us in order to gain for us the crown of life. And He does that for us, and in our lives makes our thorns easier to bear. This assurance that Christ's death has won, what Christ's death has won for us, is all that we truly need to make it through this life, no matter how difficult life gets. And yet our God is so gracious and so loving that He has also assured us His grace is sufficient for us, indicating that He will also supply more than just the grace of salvation. He'll supply us with gifts of His grace, the things that we need to overcome the difficulties and thorns of our own lives, whatever they may be. Let's not forget the rest of God's answer to Paul's pleading prayers. There was one more reason why the Lord allowed Paul's thorn in the flesh to continue. In answer to Paul's pleading, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you because My power is made perfect in weakness." By enduring the difficulties of this thorn in his flesh, Paul was able to keep the spotlight very much off of himself and direct it instead on Christ and His power. He says at the end of verse 9, "Therefore I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me." Paul knew that Christ was glorified through his weaknesses. His grace, His power, His strength were made more evident in Paul's weaknesses, and all glory was given to Jesus. Paul then was more than willing to rely on Christ's strength rather than on his own feeble abilities and his own weakness. That is why he was able to state that profound paradox that concludes our text. "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The same is true for us. We can say confidently with Paul, "Whenever we are weak, we are strong in Christ." In other words, when we are weak in ourselves, in our own abilities, our own strengths, our own health or wellness, then I am strong in Christ, relying fully on His grace and His strength. We, like Paul, can also boast all the more in our weaknesses, because in them Christ's power is displayed and not our own. And if I had to ask you, whose power would you rather have? Yours or Jesus's? Christ's power or your power? The answer is easy. We obviously would like Christ's power instead of our own. So when Satan attacks us and uses thorns in our lives and aims for our weaknesses, we can be confident that God is using those difficulties and hard times for our good, and that in our weaknesses, there is where we find Christ's strength, our true strength. God has entrusted each one of us with our own individual sets of experiences, our own individual thorns in our side, just like he gave specific ones or allowed specific ones to happen to the Apostle Paul. Now, in this text, we're shown that God did tell Paul the reason for allowing this thorn in his flesh. However, many times God doesn't give us an immediate explanation as to why he has allowed them in our lives. Can we still trust him, even if he never tells us why? We can. Whenever we are weak, we can turn to the Lord in prayer. We can turn to him for help and pray as Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done," and trust that his answer is always best. Whenever we are weak, God's grace is sufficient. We can remember that all of our setbacks, our difficulties, our hard times, and yes, even our tragedies are all being worked out for our good and for God's glory. We can remember that the God who loved us so much that he would send his own son to suffer and die on that horrible yet wonderful cross to give us heaven will never allow something to happen to us that isn't for our ultimate good, our spiritual and eternal good. Whenever we are weak, we are strong in Christ. God has said to us the same thing that he said to his apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, even in the most difficult of times, hardships, thorns, and weaknesses, we can delight in them because of Christ, or as Paul puts it, for the sake of Christ. And we can say with the apostle Paul, "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.